99.7 EKX. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
Your son didn't see the video that you posted of him singing that song, did you?
No, he did not.
All right. All right.
We're not going to tell him either, are we?
Right. No, it's between you and I. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Because certainly we would never, ever be caught doing anything embarrassing on a video, right?
No.
No.
We would never.
Never.
And he is, he's got swag for days, but he would just be embarrassed that mom posted it.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Hey, real quick question. What do you do with your phone at night?
Charge it.
So, quick life hack, you shouldn't.
You shouldn't charge it overnight? When do you charge it? Because I'm using it all day.
So, I guess that's bad for your battery. And it's funny that I just saw this this morning because my brother-in-law has been telling me this for years. He's in IT and he's like, it's bad for your battery. You shouldn't charge your phone overnight. The reason is because your phone will use, you know, like a percent or 2% of the battery, and then the charge will kick in and recharge it. So it'll just continue to go cycle down 2% and then up 2%, down 2%, up 2%. And that's bad for the battery. So they recommend charging it for about 30 to 45 minutes in the morning and then another 30 minutes in the mid-afternoon. And I'll tell you, I don't charge my battery overnight anymore, and it only loses, you know, maybe about 10% of the battery if it's fully charged when I go to bed. So ain't too bad.
Okay, now I'm gonna have to set a schedule for charging my phone in the middle of the day.
Yeah, just another thing.
It's
just another thing to worry about and to continue to.
I'm super stressed out. It's just too much.
Well, I
can't set a schedule for charging my phone in the middle of the day. I don't have the time.
Kelly, do you still have a what? The iPhone 4?
No, I started with an SE, which was after the 6, I'll tell you. And then I upgraded several years ago to the 10.
Okay, so you're still rocking an iPhone 10.
I have a 10.
What do they have now? What are they up to?
I don't know. Are we up to almost, I think it's still 13. I think they're getting ready to roll out 14. Right,
they usually do in September.
Yeah,
and that when Apple usually releases their new phones,
and then you have to buy everything else that's new to go with it.
So I've been talking about I have a new phone, or I guess a relatively new phone, thanks to an endorsement that I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, and I don't know if anybody else has had this issue. You know, phones are always kind of finicky, and there's like a spot right in the middle of the touchscreen, like right in the middle of the face of the phone. It's almost like right in the center where it's like a dead space, and it just started happening.
Okay. And so have you figured out, can you take it back to the store and say, hey, this is acting funny? Is there something you can do to fix that?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't taken it to the store yet, but maybe I should, because it's weird because, you know, if you try to like select something that's right in the middle of your phone or in my phone, can't do it. Right. There's like a maybe a quarter of an inch dead line that's right in the middle of my phone. And it's really annoying.
That would drive me insane. That would be enough to drive me insane.
I know. And you know, it's a good phone otherwise, but
yeah.
this just started happening, and it's driving me crazy.
Oh, yeah. No, that's difficult to work around.
Now, I don't have an iPhone. I have a Samsung. So
mm-hmm.
This is and this is the only time that I've ever had an issue with a Samsung. I've had Samsung before, but yeah, this is
problematic.
Problematic.
Yeah, because if there's anything in the middle of the phone, it's like, that's a dead zone.
I know. And so what I have to do is I almost have to, like, especially if I'm like playing, you know, an app or something on my phone, or music or something on my phone. And, you know, because you don't necessarily have to unlock your phone to pause or play the music. A lot of times it'll just, you know, pop up right there even on your lock screen.
But it's in the middle.
Exactly. So I have to, so I have to unlock my phone and then almost like go into the app to scroll. Oh, it's just a hassle, Kelly.
Oh, that is so problematic. So problematic.
Yeah, this is definite first world problems. That's for sure.
Well, and actually, you need to give it, like, to the top of your to-do list, immediate attention. Well, because how can you exist like that, like for one more day?
Well, yeah.
I couldn't.
I have been existing like this, so anyway.
Wow. For how long?
A while. I mean, it's been probably several weeks, I would say. It's not been like a year, but it's been several weeks that I've started noticing this, so.
Anyways. Yeah, I'd have to just say, listen, I need a new one. I need to start over.
I need a brand new phone. Yeah, I'm probably headed that direction. So, that's crazy.
Good luck and Godspeed and prayers.
And I don't know if I want to dive into the phone graveyard. Do you keep a phone graveyard of the old phones that you have once had, or do you like turn them in and like donate them, or?
I have the intention to turn them in, but I feel as though in a drawer they live somewhere. I don't know where yet.
Yeah. So just last week, my wife opens up this cupboard, and out falls a couple of those like graveyard phones, like old phones that we no longer use, and it hit her in the foot, and she was like, "All right, these are gone." And so she started unearthing probably a good 10 phones.
Oh, wow.
There were probably 10 phones that we have just like kept because they were old phones. And it's
we had the first generation iPhone for the longest time that Ava was kind of using just for the camera.
Right.
And then she got her own iPod 7.
Right.
And so I think I had an old HTC from way back in the day,
right?
That Jake was using years ago, my son. I think we did turn in some of them because I think one of the stores would take them, try to refurbish.
Yeah,
them and give them to shelters.
How dangerous is it just to throw away your phone?
I don't think you should. At least electronics recycling, you should do.
Right. All right. Well, maybe.
Yes,
maybe we'll
but I think there's a lot of stores that will try to refurbish them and if they are still usable and give them shelters.
All right. Well, maybe that's an option.
Yeah.
Before we get into the update from this group therapy from last week, Kelly, will you give us kind of the recap on what it was and where we left it?
Yeah. So he proposed to her, his girlfriend, with a gorgeous $6,000 ring that she loves, showing it off to everybody.
Yeah.
What she doesn't know is it was actually given to his first ex-fiance. Now, his mom and sisters think that he needed to fess up, get her a new ring. Some suggested he intended that, the ring was supposed to go to his future wife, which was not his ex, which would be, in his corner.
Right.
But most suggested if she knew the backstory of the ring, she'd be upset and thought they should trade it in towards an upgrade of a new ring that they pick out together.
Yeah, ton of people even coming back to that on Facebook at Ben and Kelly Show with a lot of opinions and everything. Now the update.
Okay.
Hey, Ben and Kelly. So I do have an update for you, and it's probably not what you expected. In fact, I was shocked. So after you all talked about my situation, a ton of people came out of the woodwork to ask me if you were all talking about me.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And offered up their advice, too. Yeah, you could say I got way more, quote, advice than I anticipated.
Oh, boy.
I read all the comments, the good and the bad. I listened to all my friends chime in and decided I had to turn off the noise. I knew with all this attention, it was going to get back to my fiance, so I had to tell her first. Smart.
Uh-huh.
I planned a nice dinner at our apartment and left work early to make sure things looked right. In fact, I feel like I spent more time preparing for this than I did preparing for her proposal.
Oh, no.
Anyway, she gets home, is surprised, and asks what this is all about. I tell her I have to tell her something, and she gets really quiet.
Oh.
And I can tell she's bracing for something big. I assure her that I didn't cheat or anything like that, but that it's about her ring. She says, "What about my ring?"
Oh, gosh.
I start to panic because I'm thinking there's no way to gracefully say this. So I start by asking her if she remembers my ex-fiance.
Okay, so stop right there. Like, there was a question of whether she knew he was engaged before. She does. Okay, this is good.
Yes. And before I could go any further, she says, "Yeah, this was the ring you got her. What else?"
Oh, wow. Okay, so she knew that. She seems fine with it.
He says, I was shocked. I told her nothing. That was what I needed to tell her. And she said she already knew and didn't care. She then tells me that she had seen pictures of my ex and me with the ring on her finger and recognized it as soon as I proposed.
Is it put two and two together? She's like, all right, whatever.
She's like, it's
mine right now.
That's right.
Sucks to suck.
Sucks to suck. Guess what? It's mine. She said,
that's a great attitude to have.
Yeah, she said it was a beautiful ring and didn't care it was on another woman's hand before hers because it was meant for her and not for my ex.
I love her.
Wow.
She's great.
Wow.
She's taking this like a champ.
Yeah. She then tells me that the ring her brother has for his future fiance is from my grandma's failed marriage. And it's a beautiful 3-carat diamond ring.
Oh, wow.
All right.
You know, I feel like 3 carats can fix stuff.
I think it can, right. To tell you I felt so much relief is an understatement. I did feel a little bad for throwing my sisters and mom under the bus by telling her that she needs to say the same thing she said to me to them.
Yeah.
Because they're not cool with it.
Yeah.
So she calls my mom right away and talks to her about it and says she's cool with it and everything is good.
Okay, good. See, I think the concern from mom and the sisters was coming out of the whole, they wanted to protect
right
the fiance that they love, and they didn't want anything to ruin their happy moment. I think that's where that was coming from. So this is great.
He concludes saying, I couldn't have even imagined this being the outcome. If I had, I would have spared you all the trouble and just talked to her to begin with. Anyway, thanks for your help. And my fiance says to say hey to y'all.
Oh,
so thanks again.
Can we come to the wedding now? Yay.
Yeah. And for one, no, you 100% needed to come to us with that.
Because
we needed to get invested in your situation,
right,
too.
Right. We wouldn't be invested if we didn't know about it.
Because think about it. Had you not gotten all this heat from all these other people that heard your situation on the air, maybe you wouldn't have even done anything.
Yes.
And maybe that wouldn't have mattered in the long run anyways.
It sounds like, with this fiance, she wouldn't have cared. She's just loving the ring, and it's mine now.
Yes, someone texted in and said, the ex may be gone, but you never get mad at the diamonds.
That's right.
that's funny, though. She's like,
really,
hey, guess
philosophy.
What? It's mine now. Sucks to
right.
suck. You couldn't hang on, but I can. All right. I like it. Hey, thank you so much for that update.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that was, I think you're right, probably best case scenario out of the entire thing.
100%. Like, so? I ain't mad.
Yeah, right, exactly.
What else you got?
It's a beautiful ring. And, you know, it's like, he gives it to her and she's like, oh yeah, I know what this is. I've seen pictures. It's like, I'm sure she's internet stalked. I'm sure she saw photos. I'm sure she went deep into his ex-fiance's Instagram and mined that. So
she
it's
is
like,
savvier than we gave her credit for.
Yeah, 100%. So
high five.
Anyways, hey, thank you so much for updating us on that. We appreciate it. And yeah, we will definitely be waiting for that invite to the wedding because I've got a Michael Graves toaster that I've been trying to give away for years. That would be perfect for you. Kelly, what's a setting the bar story?
That's an example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
Yeah, sure. Every now and then we highlight the state of Florida because just, you know, sometimes weird random things happen in that state. So if you're trying to hide illegal stuff from the police, probably not a good idea to try what John did.
What did John do?
Well, if you can manage to make it through the day without trying to hide those illegal drugs underneath the police car that pulled you over, you're doing okay.
Oh, wow. That's a unique. He's like, you know what? They'll never look here.
Never look here. To Florida we go where John tried to stash some drugs under the deputy's patrol vehicle during a traffic stop.
Uh-huh.
So, listen, there was video from the police told both his girlfriend, apparently, that she needed to get her written warning from another deputy who was patting down her boyfriend, John, who then tried to kick the old drugs underneath the deputy's vehicle.
Oh, just hide that right there. They'll never see it.
Yeah, here's the moment when he was caught, and you can actually hear his girlfriend going, oh, man.
Oh, God.
Listen.
He just dropped the bag, and it looks like dope.
Oh, man.
Oh, she's like, she knows it's over at that point. Like, dang it, dang it. That's what we didn't want them to see.
You're obviously not free to go.
You're obviously not free to go. Yeah.
We're going to need to have a longer discussion about what's in that.
For sure.
That's not your snack bag.
No. So again, if you can manage to make it through the day without trying to hide those illegal substances underneath the police car that pulled you over, you're doing okay.
What is that? Popcorn? Cheez-Its? No? No? That right.
Yep, that's Side of the Bar on 99.7 DJX. So the video of Will Smith freaking out over a tarantula in his house has kind of gone around the internet. If you haven't heard the audio, I'll play a little bit for you.
What the whole hell? That is a big spider.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's literally a tarantula walking on the tile floor of his house.
And he kind of says, like, what I would say, like, let's burn it down and start over.
Yeah.
That's a tarantula.
And I'm up on a chair.
Yeah, that's his son, Trey.
All right, Trey, you got to get that out of here. Come on, you're young and strong. You can handle the bite.
That's what we're dealing with.
We're selling the house.
We're selling the house.
Yep.
Wait, I mean, they put a glass jar over the tarantula, and then they slip a piece of paper underneath it, and they, like, are able to pick it up that way. Yeah, exactly. So I was like, man, that is a big spider. You know, I've held a tarantula in my hand before when the Louisville Zoo has brought them by the radio station. And, you know, I'm typically not afraid of spiders, but that thing.
Yeah.
That was something. Yeah, for sure.
Menacing.
For sure.
Yeah. So I was just like, nope, I feel like it's going to smell my fear and it's going to clomp down.
Mm-hmm. So I want to know, like, what your craziest encounter with a wild creature was. You know, that obviously seeing a tarantula in the middle of your house, that's got something. I got a message from a listener. Came around a bend in a path near a river when I was camping. Came nose to nose with a moose.
Oh.
Luckily, she was feeling benevolent that day and let me back away.
Oh, that's great. That's really good.
I guess moose are moose, meese, moose. I guess moose can be, you know, pretty aggressive for sure.
Yeah. I got another text message. Just, do my kids count as creatures from the forest? Sometimes, yes.
Yeah, they can be kind of wild.
They can be.
I got another message. My ex and his friends used to live in an apartment on a small lake. One night I was visiting him and I was preparing to leave around 2 o'clock in the morning. And a freaking beaver had climbed the stairs and was standing outside his door.
OMG!
I decided to stay the night. If you've never seen one in person, beavers are a lot larger than you would expect them to be.
I would imagine, yeah. Okay. Hey, guys, can I stay?
No. Jeff texted and said, here's my own story, which involves nudity.
Oh.
3 summers ago, on a hot sunny morning, I walked naked onto my back deck after getting up. I live in a secluded area.
Okay, I was going to say, well, your neighbors probably really appreciated that.
As the kitchen door was swinging shut, my peripheral vision detected something by my feet. It was a 5-foot black snake slithering into my house.
No.
I can't stand snakes, but the thought of him inside my house was worse.
Yeah.
There was only about 12 inches of him not inside at this point when I swung and grabbed that little sucker by the tail, spun and threw him like a discus at the Olympics. I can still see the vision of him high in the air flying toward the treetops.
OMG. Yeah, and the pilot snake is probably like, wow, I didn't know I could do this. Dang.
Oh, my gosh. Another message from a listener. Nothing better than having 20 angry geese running at you at full speed while pooping everywhere. Good times.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Geese. Old neighborhood had quite a few of those at our pond.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, geese, man, you don't want to mess with them. I was jogging the other day, and they were all like a little mob gang covering the sidewalk. And I was like, oh, man, I was thinking, as I get close, I'm sure they'll start to move.
No, and because you're entering their zone, sir.
Right. And as I was starting to get a little closer, I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to actually like make a wide berth and go way around these guys. Otherwise,
they are not afraid of you.
Otherwise, I'm going to be like our listener there and they're going to be chasing me down.
Wow.
This is kind of funny. Got a text from a listener. It wasn't really a scary situation, more strange. I left my windows down in my car when I was at a state park. And I came back and a raccoon was sitting in my seat drinking my sweet tea from McDonald's. Raccoon's like, wow, you know what? Sweet tea's delish.
This is tasty.
We were talking about Will Smith freaking out over a tarantula in his house and the video of that. It's huge. It was a huge spider that he caught. And so we were asking, hey, what's your craziest encounter with a wild creature and how did you handle it? Jesse texts in and said, we were in Mexico with me and my husband and these wild creatures roamed the hotel area. One of the creatures was a giant hamster looking critter.
Oh, wow. And the other giant hamsters?
Yeah. And when the other was like a raccoon with a long tail, made kissy noises like you would to a cat. Wait, are the giant hamster looking thing, is that like the Hyrax? Don't you see those at the zoo?
I don't know. It's been a while. I mean, I usually go see the meerkats. Those are cute.
Jesse said, same trip. I'm super terrified of fish. Like, I will not swim in the lake. So we go and we go swimming and we, of course, went into a cave and what was waiting for us but a school of blind cave catfish.
Oh, wow.
It was absolutely terrifying. I still have nightmares to this day.
Holy cow. That's nuts. Brittany said we were at Hilton Head Beach. It's the first beach vacation we've ever done. There was a handful of families out playing in the ocean. I went to make my way out. I'm out there no more than like mid-thigh deep, and I feel something kind of hard under my foot. I was like, oh, someone probably lost their goggles. I'll go ahead and grab them.
Yeah.
I have no idea why I thought that. But anyways, bent down, blindly picked up the, quote, goggles. As soon as it started to breach the surface, I saw it was, in fact, not goggles, but a horseshoe crab.
Oh.
In almost one smooth motion, I brought my hand the rest of the way out of the water, tossed the crab like a frisbee several feet away from me, then decided that was enough ocean for me.
Yeah, I'd have been like, yep, well, nice knowing you, ocean. I'll see ya.
Oh, gosh, she sent a picture. Man, yeah, that looks like a long stabby thing coming out of the back of that. I want no part of that.
Oh, shoot, that's fun.
Kentucky Anna is getting clowned. Here comes another Ben Davis phone tap on 99.7 DJX.
Got a message from Eric. Do you do prank calls for people outside the area? My sister moved to Iowa to work in the admissions office of a college there. She used to listen to you guys all the time, and I think you could call her with a phone tap just to get her good LOL.
Okay, well, Eric's sister has that job in admissions, so Robert Hassenpepper, he's going to need to call and just check to make sure things are going to go smoothly for move-in.
Now, if she used to listen, do you think she's going to know Robert Hassenpepper?
Well, I'm not going to say my name.
Okay.
All right. Welcome to your phone tap.
Admissions, this is Christine.
Hi, Christine. How are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. How can I help you?
Well, my daughter's starting school there this fall, and I'm going to be dropping her off at the dorms, helping her move in, you know.
Okay, and do you have your admission info so you know when your move-in date is?
Yeah, we got all that stuff. It's my first kid leaving the house, so I've been a little emotional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. It can be hard. Are you coming from out of town?
Yes, ma'am. We live in Louisville.
Oh, really? I used to live there, too.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Maybe you can keep a special eye on my princess when she moves in there.
Sure. You know, I try to check in with all of our incoming freshmen, make sure everything's okay, they're settling in well.
A little embarrassing, but I'm a pretty emotional guy. I'm starting to get a little sad the more we even talk about my daughter moving away. You know, we've always been really close.
Oh, 100%. I understand, totally.
I just don't know how I'm going to be when we help her move in. That's going to be a hard day.
Okay. I mean, I get it, and I'm sure it'll be totally fine.
I have a question. In the dorm buildings, do you have a box of Kleenex around for people like me who cry?
No, that's not something we usually provide. You may want to bring your own Kleenex.
Okay.
Honestly, I think it'll be okay. You'll be there to help your daughter.
My princess, you mean?
Okay. Your princess.
Yeah.
You help move your princess into her room, and while she's getting to know her roommate, we have a parents' gathering over in our dining hall.
Oh, I can't be around other parents. I'd be a mess. I'd rather just stay with my princess.
Sir, I understand that you feel very connected to your daughter.
my princess. my princess.
Right, your princess. But you're going to have to find another way to deal with the separation. You'll be able to FaceTime with her, you know, whenever you want, of course. You can come back to town for Parents' Weekend in October.
October? Oh, I can't wait that long.
It'll be here right before you know it, I promise. Look, your daughter is entering a new part of her life now. It's time for her to find her independence and become the strong young woman you've raised her to be.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess so.
I mean, how does she feel about being away from you? Is she having as hard as a time as you are?
No. Can I be honest with you?
Of course.
She can't wait to get away from me.
Oh, wow.
She says I'm too clingy. Why would she say that? Why would she pick a college so far away from me?
Well, there, you see, she'll be just fine here. You just need to find other things back home to occupy you.
I guess
take your mind off this and let her settle in. So, I'll tell you what. I'll keep an eye out for your daughter and make sure she's okay. We have a lot in common because we're both from the same area.
Oh, can you talk to her about going to Harvest Homecoming? We used to go there all the time.
Sure, I can.
Had talked to her about listening to the Ben Davis and Kelly Kay show. We used to listen to them all the time when I drove her to school, and I'd hear those phone taps and the prank calls they do. They're so funny.
Wait a minute. No. Is this what I think it is?
Christine! Hey, it's Ben Davis and Kelly Kay. Say hi, Kelly.
Hi.
It's called a phone tap.
You guys, I used to listen to you guys all the time. How are you? I missed you guys.
Oh, we're great. Listen, trust me. We've missed you, too, immensely.
That was great.
In fact, we missed you so much.
We missed you so much. I was so far away.
Oh, I'm impressed that she didn't figure it out sooner.
All right, that is your phone tap.
At Ben and Kelly Show, you can get in and send us a DM. We'll turn around, shoot it out to our listeners and see if we can help you out as we dive into the DMs.
Megan said, hey, Ben and Kelly,
mm-hmm.
My husband and I have a 10-month-old son. He's absolutely glorious.
Aw.
We love being parents more than we thought we would, and we're looking into starting the IVF process again to have another.
Ah, gotcha.
But literally everyone we mentioned this to says a second kid is always the worst, worse than the first. Is that true? It was definitely the case in my family. I was the easy firstborn. My younger brother was a hellion from the start and still is at 37.
Mm.
Am I pushing my luck by wanting to have another baby? I'm 39, so it's not like I have a lot of time to mull this over.
Oh, thinking about my family, the second born.
I mean, you knocked out two in one swoop.
I did.
And then your third. Do you consider your third actually your second?
No.
Because the first two came together?
No, I consider my third my third.
Okay.
But yeah, so I mean, technically, like in our family, Isabella is the oldest, Sophia is the middle child, and Zoe's the youngest. Even though the middle child is only 2 minutes apart from the older child. But
right.
I think don't worry about the what ifs if you want to have another kid.
Exactly. You can sit there all day long and be like, well, you know, what if they're difficult and whatever. If you want more children, then have more children. But I don't think that you can sit there and try to predict what kind of a person they're going to end up being. Parenting has their challenges no matter how many kids you have.
I don't know if this is going to help. Zach texted in and said, yeah, it's so true. My son is a demon compared to my daughter who was born first.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah.
Well, I will say I needed a different set of tools for each of my kids.
Katie texted in and said, that's 100% true.
Yeah.
If my second one had been born first, I wouldn't have ever had a second one.
I don't think this is helping. I don't think it's helping.
I will say also that my wife and I have said if we had two of Zoe at the same time, there would be no third.
Yep.
So there is something special about that second or third because, you know, they're competing a little bit more, you know, and trying to kind of elbow their way into their space in the family.
Now, listen, Brittany's all like bucking the system. She says my first was my problem child. My second was wonderful.
All right.
Here's the thing. My niece, she's going to be 16.
Mm-hmm.
She was my sister's firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
When she was born, she had colic from like 6 weeks to like 8 months.
Oh, wow.
And I watched my sister struggle with that. And I mean, she was like, to try to calm her down, she was sitting on one of those exercise balls
bouncer
for like hours. I mean, trying to use gripe water. There's all sorts of tricks. She was trying to help ease this. Colic is like no joke. And I was not certain that I could handle that. Like, that is the way it's going to be. I'm not sure if kids are going to be in the cards for me because, wow, it was a lot.
But it worked out.
Oh, yeah. She's an amazing kid. They went on and had two more.
Look, honestly, our text line is blown up with opposites of, hey, my first was my worst, my second was my best, and my first was my best, and my second was my problem child. So, you know.
And then people chiming in with girls versus boys.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly the case for me. I have one of each, and they are very different with how you handle things. So you need, like, different tools. You got to need a different set of skills to be able to figure out how to handle their things. And our daughter has been more of a challenge in trying to figure that part out.
Well, Megan, what we're saying is you do you. And, you know,
if your dream has always been to have more than one child,
exactly.
then don't let any fear of how hard it's going to be scare you away from it. Because, again, everyone that's chiming in, none of them are saying, I wish I didn't have that kid.
Right.
It's really a personal decision about how many kids that you want to surround yourself with and how big you want your family to be. And don't let anything like that scare you away.
All right. Good luck, Megan. We're going to play a fun little game. It's called Little Kid or Drunk Adult. Fun little game there. Let's introduce you first to Caitlin calling us from Linden. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi.
So Caitlin has blondish brownish hair, right? That's kind of the mystery right now.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a debate.
Oh, it's up for debate. Okay. I have qualities of both in my hair color too.
Caitlin is an occupational therapist. She's getting married in 53 days.
Oh, the countdown's on.
Congratulations. How long were you together before the question was popped?
Right about a year.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's enough time.
It was like, you know, when you know, you know.
Right, but how long was the engagement?
5 months.
I like it. When you're ready to go, let's just pull the trigger. Let's do it.
Man, Caitlin, I feel like you and Kelly would have been the best of friends.
Absolutely. As soon as I got engaged, we sold two houses, started building one, planned a wedding, got married in 8 months.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit less stressed.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. And that was a bad schedule.
And Caitlin has a golden doodle named Tater Tot, which... I love the name. Love the name.
That's fantastic.
All right. So, Caitlin, the name of the game, Kelly's going to explain what Little Kid and Drunk Adult is all about.
Well, it's really story time. So we're going to hear three stories. And you have to try to figure out if that story occurred in the person's life when they were a little kid or a drunk adult. It's kind of difficult.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. First one.
I accidentally spilled a milkshake on a baby I didn't know.
All right. Accidentally spilled a milkshake on a baby she didn't know.
I think probably drunk adult.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right, both of you say drunk adult.
Yeah, first instinct, that's what I think.
First instinct, drunk adult, go with that. All right, let's find out.
I was at a rodeo, but I was a little kid.
Oh, gosh. I feel it's more acceptable.
She was a little
kid.
Kids
spill stuff all the time.
She was a little kid.
I had just gotten a milkshake, and as I was getting ready to take a sip, I accidentally dropped it off the second balcony and landed square on top of a random baby's head.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot farther than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Thankfully, the parents were so drunk that they actually thought it was funny.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. Drunk parents bringing their baby to a rodeo and get some milkshake all over. Oh, bless.
Well, Caitlin, you're 0 for 1, all right?
Wow, I did not see that coming.
Let's hope you have a little bit better luck. Here we go, next one.
I got bit by a raccoon trying to feed it a hot dog from out of my mouth. Oh, that.
But really, who hasn't tried that?
That could seriously go either way.
Yeah, I'm
going to
go drunk adult again.
Me too. I'm holding strong on that too.
All right, sticking close to drunk adult. First instinct, let's go.
I was a little kid.
Come on! Really? Really?
Really? I mean, she didn't know any better, right?
I really loved animals as a kid, and one day I tried to feed a raccoon by putting a hot dog in my mouth, and the raccoon like went berserk and bit me on the lip.
Well, yeah. The raccoon's like, you're giving me this? You're,
wow.
I'm going to take it before you change
She's
your mind.
She's trying to have a Lady and the Tramp moment with a raccoon.
Caitlin, what was that? What was the music that was playing during that scene? Like, Caitlin,
I don't know.
The Lady and the Tramp?
What? Denied is denied. Oh.
Is it denied is
denied? It was spaghetti, too. Oh, goodness. Right. Don't do that.
Are you going to do that at your wedding?
No.
Oh, I guess we could.
No, not with spaghetti, though, Caitlin. I want you to feed a hot dog to your new your new partner.
We might need to gosh. Get his opinion on that.
All right. All right, last one, Caitlin. You're literally 0 for 2. You're doing horrible at this game. Well. All right, here we go. Last one.
You're doing great, sweetie.
You're doing great, sweetie.
I got hit by a Frito-Lay truck.
Okay, gosh. Oh, my
God. I mean... I feel like I need to stick with drunk adult. One of them has to be, right?
If you're playing the odds, one of them has to be, right?
Okay, I'm going to stick with it.
All right, Caitlin's sticking with drunk adult. So's Kelly.
God, I hope so.
All right.
I was the drunk adult.
There you are.
Yes!
There
you
are. Jeez.
I thought it would be funny to try and jump on the Frito truck as it came towards me. And it hit me instead, and I spent 2 months in the hospital.
Holy crap. Oh, my gosh.
Well, now you can laugh about it, obviously.
Yeah, wow. That is like, someday, buddy, this is going to be a funny story.
And I'm going to tell the Ben Davis and Kelly Kay show. That's funny. Well, Caitlin, hey, you know what? You really didn't do a great job.
No, it doesn't matter, though, on this show.
But we'll give you the tickets anyways, all right?
Well, I appreciate the honesty.
I feel like you're in occupational therapy. You'd be able to see right through me if I tried to lie to you. So wait, hang on a second. What do occupational therapists do?
She's not a psychiatrist.
Oh, me asking a psychiatry. All right, sorry, Caitlin. I didn't know what your job was.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
That's why we do this. And nothing else requires any sort of smarts.
Caitlin, you've spent so much time with us on the phone already. Here, why don't you hang on a little bit longer so we can get just a little bit more information from you so we can get those tickets to you, okay?
Hey, you don't have to tell me to wait in the car any longer before going into work.
I like that.
There you go.
Consider this your first wedding gift. I'm excited.
All right, congratulations, Caitlin. Hang on.
Oh, she was fun. We were really bad at that game.
All right, feel good stories.
So a woman in Oklahoma climbed through the sunroof of a vehicle parked outside a Walmart last week to rescue a pair of two-year-olds left inside.
There you go.
Just one of those situations where the car was parked in direct sunlight on a 98-degree day.
Dang.
Which, you know, you and I did this experiment years ago in my driveway where you sat in a hot car. We had EMS there and everything.
Yep.
And in less than 10 minutes, it was dangerously hot for humans.
Yeah.
So thank goodness she noticed... took action. The mom, who was 33, arrested when she came back to the car after shopping for over a half an hour. Of course, she told authorities it was only in for 5 minutes. Surveillance footage showed she was in there for 35 minutes and ignored the loudspeaker calls for whoever was in that car to come out.
Yeah.
She was still shopping and then paid for stuff and then came out.
You know, it's one of those things where I'm not justifying what she did, but you have those thoughts, especially when you're a parent of like maybe toddlers like that, where you're like, man, they're sleeping. I don't want to wake them up. I'm just going to run in real quick.
We've all been there, but you cannot do that.
Right.
You got to take them in with you all the time. You can't leave your pets in parked cars. And you can't leave your children. So thank goodness a good Samaritan just happened to see them because they were unresponsive and buckled in their car seats when she saw them.
Yeah, it could have been a much graver outcome for sure.
Absolutely. So they're going to be okay. And, you know, we've tweeted the story if you want to read more about it. Just a big reminder that you've got to be aware, even if you aren't the person that drops them off normally, you always come up with a way to check the back seat because you may simply forget you have the kids with you.
I know. And those stories are always tragic, too.
Oh, my gosh. They're beyond tragic. So don't let it happen to you. At Ben and Kelly Show on Twitter.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
So we got this message, thought we'd toss it out, from Victoria. Said, hey guys, will you change my name? Because I'd like your feedback on this, but this is kind of touchy.
By the way,
Victoria,
we did.
Not her name.
Yeah, I was going to say, we did actually change her name.
Yes, that is in quotes. So Lisa, also in quotes, was my best friend. The relationship started fading. And I realized I was more invested in it than she was.
Mm.
We had a blowout. I said I felt unappreciated and that I was carrying the friendship for years. The conversation ended with no resolution. Basically, oh well, and we'll carry on.
Jeez. Oh,
now, this was the last straw, and I needed to write her off as a friend in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have superficial contact now, but I'm still hurting. The problem is our long history. She's like family to my parents. I'm friends with her sisters. So we're at the same parties and together at Christmas. I buy presents for all their kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I need to cut back the relationships with her family to be emotionally rid of her. But I'm so upset with Lisa that it's painful to keep smiling at parties and pretending like nothing's wrong.
Oh, jeez.
So is the answer that I need to carry on the cordial routine? Because it would be much worse to burn bridges with her family, too, and to disappoint mine? Not sure how to navigate this.
Wow. Well, you know, people come in and come out of your life for reasons.
Yeah, you have different seasons.
Yeah. This may be a case where it's like maybe the season of your friend and her friends and your friend's family is coming to a close, as hurtful as that sounds, you know?
I think the problem is, though, it's not like you can just let them fade out of your life because she continues to, I guess, run into them at parties.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole Christmas routine and that kind of thing. So I don't know if that warrants a conversation of where she actually addresses that with the family. It's like, hey, probably going to stop coming to Christmas with you guys. Going to stop stopping by to drop off presents for the kids. I mean, do we have that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. And you almost want to say your piece first so an alternate dialogue doesn't start where it's like, well,
there's always two versions of the
Victoria story. Just doesn't want to come by because she hates you.
Right.
And it's like, no, she just had a, she's still hurting because of Lisa.
Yeah. So maybe she feels like she needs to give Lisa's family, you know, her version of their falling out and just say, listen, I loved her. I love you guys, but I feel like I need to move on because it's just too painful knowing that I don't have a relationship with her anymore to try to carry on and be in your guys' life.
I don't know. That's the harsh way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of it is if they're like family, then, you know, you can explain it to them and just say, hey, maybe I'm going to take a couple steps back for, you know, a few months and hopefully let myself heal a little bit more, but I'd still like to have you as part of my life, you know, type of thing. I don't know. I mean, if you've got opinions on this, 502-571-9970, you can call or text because I think any experience that you may have had with this sort of situation would probably help here. Group therapy, Victoria had a falling out with her best friend, Lisa, but now doesn't really want to ruin the relationship with Lisa's family. Doesn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, a text message from Eric. My ex-fiance of 16 years and I are still family to each other's family. Sometimes you just have to be an adult. Communication is key to most of these issues. Talk to her and make peace.
Mm-hmm.
And then Danielle texted in, I had to let a friendship of 12 years go because I was constantly trying to keep our friendship afloat. Mm-hmm. I texted her and called her almost every day with no response, but she talks with other friends we have in common. We didn't have a falling out. She just stopped talking to me out of nowhere. It's best to let it go because it will better your mental health.
Yeah, Kristen is kind of echoing both Eric and
Danielle
there. Says, I think sometimes you just need to make a clean break from everyone associated with that person in order to heal. You do what you feel you need to do. There's no wrong answer. Good luck. You know, and so that's kind of what we were talking about even before, where people come in and out of your life, you know, for a reason. And so maybe the season of Lisa is coming to a close.
Yeah. Maybe if you feel like you need to close the book with Lisa's family,
mm-hmm.
maybe you write them a letter and tell them, you know, how much they've meant to you and that you'll, you know, miss seeing them. If you feel like you need some sort of closure as opposed to just kind of disappearing,
or you could,
you can do that.
Or you could, you know, TP their house or something.
No, we don't do that. That's not what we do. We don't TP their house.
You're so quick
write
to just
messages on the toilet paper. I left a message in your tree.
You know, I mean, there is an alternative. Shannon had messaged us and said, hey, they can always continue your relationship with her family, just on a different level that doesn't involve her being around. So make arrangements to do things differently. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that was an option and a suggestion that, that you know, could help. But Victoria, I still think unless you make amends with Lisa, and it doesn't sound like she wants to make amends, then it's going to be a thing where I think you're just going to have to bow out.
Yeah, but I think, though, if you're that close, maybe just explaining what happened mm-hmm. between you and Lisa to her family so that they at least get your side of the story. Because, you know, I'm sure if Lisa has shared with them the status of your relationship, they have her version.
Yeah,
and there's always
right.
two sides to a story.
Yeah, maybe they don't want you around.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe they're just being polite and mm-hmm. they think that they are hurting Lisa by still talking to you. Who knows? But the only way to figure that out is to have a conversation and clear the air and just be honest with how you've been feeling and how you're dealing with it.
Victoria, good luck. It is a tough situation and keep us posted. And, you know, we always say that knowledge happens on this show a lot of times organically. And
accidentally even. Accidentally. Sometimes it's on purpose.
Yeah. Sometimes it is on purpose, like you said. A little stupid fact of the day for you. It's just random stuff that I found on the internet, and I bring it to you as fact.
Okay, all right.
And I just like the name of this. So there's a name for the... there's a name for the apron of fat that hangs down from the bottom of a person's stomach.
Oh, gosh. Really?
It's a term that's derived from the Latin word for tablecloth, and it's called...
Because it catches crumbs?
It's called a panus.
Okay.
Or a panus.
Panus, probably.
Panus?
Yeah. P-A-N-N-U-S.
Panus. Panus.
Oh, gosh. As soon as you click on the article, there's a picture of somebody squeezing their belly or on their belly button.
Yeah. Well, like, all right. That apron of fat that hangs down from the bottom of your stomach, that's a panus?
A panus.
Panus?
I think it's a panus.
Hey, will you touch my panus?
Now, listen. The title of the article is How We Continue to Underestimate the Panus. What?
Right. Never underestimate the panus.
I was never thinking about the panus before.
Well, now you've got the panus to worry about and your weenus and all sorts of stuff.
There's a lot of body parts that we're really not getting the spotlight that they deserve.
Well, that's why we're shining a light now on the panus, that apron of fat that hangs down from the bottom of a person's stomach. There you go.
That's fantastic.
A little stupid fact of the day there for you.
Oh, by the way, fun fact I also learned from just skimming this article, the belly button has an official name. Do you know what it's called?
Not the belly button.
It's the umbilicus. The umbilicus is the full formal name of your belly button.
What?
So much learning.
Ah, so much learning. There you go. It's your stupid fact of the day on 99.7 DJX. It's Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX and Feel Good Stories. Do this every hour throughout the morning. Kelly K.
Tom lives in Washington State, just celebrated his 82nd birthday by completing his 17-year goal to shoot 1 million basketball free throws.
Now, are we just taking Tom's word for it?
I think by and large, yes. However, okay. He did have a grand finale that he did in front of family and friends. Uh-huh. So there was a little bit of pressure.
Okay.
He made about 94% of the shots he said he took over the course of 17 years, spent about 2,500 hours on the court working towards his goal.
All right.
Walking back and forth to rebound the ball, didn't have help doing that. Covered about 1,500 miles, according to, you know, you're monitoring your steps.
Sure.
He's getting his steps in.
All right.
Tom finally made his 1 millionth free throw last Thursday, his 82nd birthday. Family and friends were all there to watch it happen at a local fitness center. He says, it's great to be able to perform really well under pressure. I don't normally have this kind of crowd here, but it went well. I think I might have missed 8 or so.
All right.
Yeah, now he said he pursued his goal by making about 100 free throws every day that he spent on the basketball court. His best streak was 222 that he made in a row.
All right, not too shabby.
Impressive, sir. We tweeted it out. You can see the story at Ben and Kelly Show.
Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. All right, quick setting the bar story, Kelly.
It's an example of what not to do or situation we hope you don't find yourself in, but this sounds like a bad life choice right here.
Yeah, for sure. Southern Indiana, we're coming for you because this is what happens when you try to play Grand Theft Auto in real life.
Okay.
from WFIE.
Police say one man was hit by a car twice last night while he was running through traffic trying to take cars.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, he's going to do okay.
Well, listen, you play stupid games, you get stupid prizes.
Yeah, so this dude in Indiana, Evansville area.
Oh, that's where my parents are both from. I know Evansville very well.
Tried to carjack multiple people.
Oh, wow.
Got hit by one car.
Yep.
Then cops tried to help him. He jumped up. Nope, just kidding. Tried to run away. Got hit by another car.
Ouchie.
Yeah. He was not seriously injured. Taken to the hospital, where then he was transported to jail.
Yeah. Okay. So life is not like a video game.
No.
Okay. Let's not do Grand Theft Auto. Let's not play. It was kind of had elements of Frogger too, didn't it?
A little bit. Sure. A little bit of that. Sure. Or what is that? Crossy Road?
Yes.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
All right. Don't do any of that. That's not good.
All right. So setting the bar, if you can manage to make it through the day without trying to carjack anyone, you're doing okay.
Again, stupid games, stupid prizes.
Yep.
It's Ben and Kelly on 99.7 EJX. So Kelly, I know you've probably been wondering why. Ever since a few weeks ago, you saw the picture of Tommy Lee nude.
Listen, I didn't want to see it then. I was blissfully, again, living in a world where I'd forgotten about it. And now you're bringing it up again? Why, sir? Why?
Well, because Tommy Lee himself has now finally answered the question, why would you post that?
Okay, and so... because he's trying to advertise the goods?
A couple weeks ago, we had like a 2-week break, and I went on a bender, bro. A bender! And got naked and posted pictures of my...
Yeah, so he's...
Great! He's on a bender. He's a little drunk.
Yeah, he said he got drunk, and he decided, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
So Tommy then tries to get the crowd to do it.
Tonight it's equal opportunity night. Tonight, I want to see everyone. My man in the pink shirt. Show the whole world that hot dog.
Not doing it.
Yeah, no, and no one did.
Nope.
No one did.
Thank you for making better choices than Tommy Lee.
All right. So now,
OMG.
Now finally the answer to the age-old question, why would Tommy post a naked, full frontal selfie?
Don't drink and post, kids.
There it is.
Don't drink and post.
And that could be the moral of the show to end this segment.
Let's tie it up with a bow with that.
Don't drink and post.
There you go.
Save it to drafts, and then when you're in sober
Maybe
mind.
Maybe we don't even get to the draft part, because you can accidentally hit send. Let's not do that either. Let's just, you know what? If there's one thing you take away from today's show, it's this. Don't drink and post, kids.
Well, I'm just saying that sometimes you have brilliant things when you're drunk that you can write down, but
okay,
then
just don't take pictures.
Go back to, yes, exactly.
It's the pictures is where it really goes awry, right?
All right. So tomorrow, it is Alpha Media's day at the fair. So we're going to be posted up south wing of the Kentucky State Fair. So you have to stop out. And, as you're munching on your corn dog and your pork sandwich, give us a barbecue high five with your grubby little hands.
Good stuff. Can't wait.
All right, so we'll see you out there tomorrow.